Coming up on KUCB News, more details on the upcoming sale of Panair, and Murkowski meets with Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, August 27th, 2018. One of Southwest Alaska's largest airlines will soon be up for sale. A federal judge has ordered Panair be auctioned off this October, more than a year after the company filed for bankruptcy protection. Now the carrier is promising residents of the Aleutian and Pribilof Islands that their only connection to Anchorage won't just vanish. The Siebert family founded Alaska-grown Panair in 1955, and they still own it today. The company includes 430 employees, 10 airplanes, and 8 routes across Bristol Bay, the Alaska Peninsula, and the Aleutian chain. Last August, the airline filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy with $15 million worth of debt. It's incurred another $5 million since then to stay operating. But CEO Danny Siebert doesn't seem too concerned. He's issued this message to customers with help from spokesperson Missy Roberts.
They should know that I'm going to still be here.
We're not leaving.
No, I'm not leaving. I've been flying in Southwest Alaska for 45 years. I got another 45 years left in me.
That promise comes after a bankruptcy court judge scheduled an auction this fall, when the company will be sold to the most competitive bidder. Siebert says flights will continue normally during what's called a 363 sale,
which is the sale of the company's assets as an entire operating entity.
That means the top bidder will take control of everything Panair owns, leases, or won by contract, minus its debts.
All the employees, all the aircraft, all the routes, the entire business that we're doing today will still be the same business that operates the day after the sale.
At least it'll still be that same business until a new owner decides to change things. That's according to Jerry McHale, an accountant from Florida who's been court-appointed to oversee the sale as an independent trustee.
My role is to attempt to stabilize the situation. I don't want somebody to buy the company on Friday and shut down the routes on Monday.
After the sale is complete, McHale says Panair's new owner will be free to add or delete routes as they see fit, but any bidder who wants to be truly competitive will have to submit a plan for continued air service in the region. McHale says he already has plenty of bidders lined up, all of whom fit that description.
Even today, I've had two come out of the woodwork today. I am unaware of anyone wanting to stop routes currently.
That said, Panair, under its current management, flies a few routes that are guaranteed by Essential Air Service, a federal program that subsidizes companies who serve small communities. McHale says he can't be sure a new owner will do the same.
I believe it's McGrath and St. Paul that are currently being operated under what they call an EAS program. Those programs, I understand, are out for bid. I don't know that a new buyer would want to bid on those or not. I just don't know.
While the fates of those routes play out in a separate bidding process managed by the U.S. Department of Transportation, McHale says he's doing everything he can to get a responsible buyer at the head of Panair. Bidders have to submit audited financial statements and letters of credit to prove their upfront ability to buy the airline. They also have to demonstrate how they'll cover ongoing costs for aircraft maintenance, insurance, and storage, on top of convincing the Federal Aviation Administration that they have a credible safety program. With that criteria, McHale says there will only be so many competitive bidders. And as for rumors that the Siebert family hopes to buy out and relaunch their own company, he says there's no reason they can't try.
If Danny and his group want to put in a bid, they're welcome to it, but they're no different than, I'll pick some names out, Alaska Air or Wexford or Raven, anybody.
Already this year, Raven Alaska has expanded to Dillingham and King Salmon, two communities previously connected to Anchorage by Panair alone. In January, the carrier also said it's considering a new route to Unalaska. Meanwhile, Wexford Capital is a company that has issued loans to Penn Air during the bankruptcy, and Alaska Airlines used to compete with Penn Air in the Unalaska market before they agreed to partner on the current route. Penn Air's Danny Siebert declined to comment on the potential competition for his family's business. He also declined to say whether he'll make an offer himself.
I'm not going to tell you yet, but watch your bids carefully.
The auction is slated for the first or second week of October. Both Penn Air officials and Trustee McHale say it will not affect holiday travel or the busy winter fishing season. Meanwhile, Kodiak's Coast Guard Air Station just received the first of its five new aircraft. The HC-130J is replacing the 130H that has been used since the 1980s. The J model is worth about $85 million, and it'll be used to drop survival equipment and enforce maritime law. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche has more from the plane's arrival in Kodiak.
The new Model J taxis down to Hangar 1 through streams of water from two fire engines on either side of the runway. A crowd of Coast Guardsmen has gathered to watch the welcoming ceremony. Among them is Air Station Commanding Officer Captain Brian Daly. He says pilots will transition between flying the older model and the J.
The pilots can fly one, can't fly the other. It's totally different when you walk inside. And Alaska is a very unforgiving environment, and so teaching the guys to fly up here, is a challenge. And so for this next year, we're focusing on getting our pilot and air crew cadre proficient in the aircraft.
The new Model J looks pretty similar to its predecessor, the Model H, but it's apparently a lot quieter, at least according to someone who's used to the noise. Lieutenant Commander Hunter Atherton is stationed in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and was one of the pilots to fly the J into Kodiak.
Some people really like the roar of the H model, and this one doesn't quite have that, but it is a lot more efficient overall.
Do you like the roar?
I kind of do, actually. But they're both good. I'll definitely miss flying H's now that I'm flying J's.
He says the J comes with a few improvements, including a more powerful engine, more automation, and a better navigation system. He says the plane's extra features could help cut through challenges pilots face landing in Alaska.
Having access to a plane that's going to have GPS-based approaches in the near future, which the J model will have, hopefully in the next couple of years, that's huge. That'll be huge for Kodiak to be able to have access to airplanes with that capability.
Atherton says there are 13 J models, and Kodiak is the only other station where the J is being used. According to the Coast Guard, Kodiak's four other aircraft should arrive by fall 2019, and the program aims to have 22 of the new aircraft nationwide. In Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Here we go, guys. Tally-ho.
All right, heads up.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski met last week with Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. While most meetings in Murkowski's D.C. office don't merit such press coverage, she is one of the few Republicans who may vote against Kavanaugh's confirmation, and that means opponents are watching her closely. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has more.
Some 30 Alaskans flew to the nation's capital to urge Murkowski to vote no. Among them was Leanne Gonzalez, a student at UAA.
I made a very personal appeal, and I asked her to vote no on his nomination because I was, I'm honestly concerned and very scared of this, this person being on the Supreme Court.
Gonzalez was born with a heart condition that required surgery. She says Kavanaugh is hostile to a key promise of the Affordable Care Act, that people with pre-existing conditions won't be denied insurance coverage. Whether Kavanaugh really is opposed to the Affordable Care Act is a matter of dispute. But Gonzalez says Murkowski seemed receptive to her message.
I brought a picture of my, a baby picture, post-surgery with this giant scar on my, tiny baby chest, and she was really moved by that, and I felt very optimistic.
Gonzalez says her way was paid by Protect Our Care, a healthcare advocacy group. Anchorage retiree Joni Bruner made the trip, too. She was a last-minute addition to her contingent, and Bruner was not exactly sure who bought her ticket. She thinks it was a group called Center for Popular Democracy. Bruner says the new justice should be a middle-of-the-road centrist.
If we were to confirm
an extreme right person, it would further divide our country, and we really want to stay together.
Kavanaugh has been making the rounds of Senate offices for weeks, and a photo op is a routine prelude to each meeting. Murkowski's real meeting with Kavanaugh was behind closed doors. Nothing of substance was discussed in their minute in front of the cameras. But Murkowski did take the opportunity to introduce Kavanaugh to Walter. That's a giant salmon trophy on Murkowski's wall.
So that's Walter 63 pounds, Kenai River, your friend to work on.
Murkowski's office later issued a statement saying their discussion included health care, privacy, Indian law, and laws specific to Alaska. The statement provided no insight into which way she's leaning. Kavanaugh's confirmation hearing is scheduled for after Labor Day. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Okay, can you guys duck so I can get a shot of the fish?
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.